All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City, the borough of Queens, on the 28th day of September, 2021. And I do want to thank each of you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. And I also want to invite you to continue sending along whatever comments you might have about today's show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions4taylor@gmail.com. Of course, we want to thank our sponsors because without them, there would be no show. This week's sponsors, Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Labrador Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, SK Mining Corp, and Firefox Gold. Before I talk about today's show, I would like to let you know that El Oro Resources announced this morning another mineralized intersection, an amazing one, really, at its Isca polymetallic project. Specifically, the company announced a 194-meter intersection grading 160.22 grams per ton silver equivalent. Now, this is a polymetallic project, so it has tin. It has all sorts of base metals. It is an amazingly large project, and I think it is going to emerge. I think it has a very good chance of emerging into one of the largest silver deposits in the world. And this is one we're watching very closely. El Oro Resources. Well, all of our current sponsors have been doing extremely well in their exploration efforts, even if that's not represented by their share prices lately. We are in a very weak market, but I believe it behooves investors really to pay close attention to these emerging gold and silver deposits because they're going to have their day. And as a matter of fact, just today I see there is an announcement that Kirkland Lake is being acquired by Agnew Eagle. And that is, I think, portends the future. The mining companies that are these little juniors that are finding major deposits are going to be hunted down by the majors. And we have a number of them that we're watching. Most, I think all of our sponsors are in that discussion or will be in the future. And there's a lot of others that I cover in my newsletter as well. So I think that once it is realized that inflation and interest rates are out of control and that the Fed has no choice but to hyperinflate the currency, there will be fewer places to hide, very few places to hide other than gold and silver. And I'm not cheering for that in that event to happen because only God knows what a new world monetary system will mean for each of us and our liberties. I think liberties and freedoms are something Americans have taken for granted so long. I think especially the younger folks have no idea what they're giving up in this process of going towards socialism. But all I can say is reflecting on thousands of years of history, we do know one thing. One thing is very certain. And that is that gold retains its purchasing power, while fiat monies, which are really false, they're really just liability money, and they're only good if other people can pay their debts. Once the system is insolvent, then fiat money goes to money heaven. But gold and silver, real money, actually retains its intrinsic value, and that has been proven over thousands of years. One more thing before I begin talking about today's show, I want to wish a happy birthday to a longtime faithful listener to this show named Will Hiris. Now, it is Will will be 50 years of age on October 3rd, so I want to wish Will a happy birthday. In my view, Will, let me just tell you that I think you're still a spring chicken, actually, because compared to me, I've had nearly 25 more trips around the sun than you have, because the next March, Lord willing, I will have lived three quarters of a century compared to your half. In any event, happy birthday to you. And thank you very much for being a good and faithful listener to this show. Now, with regard to today's show, the Money Tree, I've titled it The Money Tree, Open Borders and Other AOC Fantasies. John Rubino, John Watson, and Michael Oliver are with me today. As the Biden administration invites the world's poor to come to America to receive free college, free medical care, free housing, free everything, and then vote Democrat, how will all of these services be paid for? No problem, says Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and AOC. A money tree at the Federal Reserve is the gift that just keeps on giving. Why worry? Money created by the Fed's keystrokes costs nothing. Moreover, the Fed's money tree has resulted in more stock market prosperity than ever, thus proving the Fed's omnipotence. But wait a minute. A simple glance at history reveals that the Keynesian monetary theory is a big fat lie. John Law tried it in 1719 and 1720, that time frame, when his French National Bank created so much debt, manufactured money, and blowing the Mississippi bubble that the financial system completely collapsed in 1720. That led to French national despair and the need for John Law to escape from France to save his life. From being one of the richest men in the world from his Keynesian monetary theft process, he died a pauper a few years later in Venice, Italy. Well, John Rubino will be along in the second half of today's show to explain why open borders and other vote-buying gimmicks are in fact leading to massive inflation now, not only in stock prices, but in the real economy, and thus forcing interest rates higher. As such, they are now threatening to lead to a Mississippi bubble encore. But the one that's being created now, will be vastly larger than the Mississippi bubble that ran from 1718 to 1720. So we'll ask John to provide some of his ideas about how we might best prepare for that fateful day that may arrive sooner than we expect. And certainly, as inflation is rising, the Fed is being forced to at least pay lip service to tapering, and that is sending the stock market spiraling lower today. That really saw that the NASDAQ was down over 2% at one point in time anyway. So these are all issues that we'll be discussing with John Rubino in the second half of the show. John Watson will join me in just a few minutes to give us an update on NV Gold. It's working in some very promising exploration projects in Nevada, and so we'll hear what John has to say when he's here right after our first commercial break. But right now, I'm really pleased to tell you that Michael Oliver is with us, and it's olivermsa.com, where you should go to learn more about Michael's work, and it's very, very helpful to me personally, which is why he's with me every other week, as often as I can get him, in fact. And thank you for joining me again, Michael.
Good to be back, Jay.
It's always good to have you here, and I know my subscribers especially, they haven't heard a word I've said. They know that you're coming on, and so they turned the speaker off. Oh, let's see if Michael's on. Okay, Michael's on. Let's hear what he has to say. So let's hear what you have to say, Michael. This is a day when the market is getting creamed. Equities are getting creamed, I should say. What are your thoughts?
Well, there's two alternative markets to the stock market from an asset manager's point of view, and we've seen them come into play over the last year or so in sync with each other. That's T-bonds, price, that is, price direction, and gold. And sure enough, over the last several weeks, as gold's been bashed back down again in a range. Remember, the March low was 1673. Right now, we're in the mid-1700s, 1730, 40. T-bonds got whacked for the last 3 weeks. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, our shorter-term work on T-bonds says that we're oversold. This week's action puts it in an oversold condition and likely to see an upturn in T-bonds again. Well, why would T-bonds, they're influenced by all kinds of things. Most people have a sort of a mono view of them, like, oh, they trend because of inflation or non-inflation. Okay, that's one factor, no question. They're not under the thumb of the Fed because they're long-dated debt. Mm-hmm. So, unlike the short-term stuff that the Fed does control. So asset managers can move T-bonds. Investors can move T-bonds in a new direction based on inflation expectations or simply a place to park money in an uncertain time. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily as a commitment to the T-bonds long-term because they know there's risks there. If we have, in fact, inflation's coming back, T-bonds could come under a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. But there's that other factor is the stock market looks questionable. Most asset managers of size won't admit that publicly, but they'll sort of hem and haw and say, you know, well, you know, this is a little overdone here, overdone there, this factor, that factor. And so, you know, no doubt that time to time, especially the more experienced asset managers, are moving money piecemeal, mm-hmm. subtly, from stocks into a lower risk category. And mm-hmm. I think that's been gold and it's been T-bonds. And they both did what? They made a low in March. They both rallied. They've been under pressure since, almost in sync week to week. And I see this drop in gold that we're having right now as one that the bears had better win it, because they had been bashing gold into the March low, which was the low of the move, 20% correction, took them 8 months to get it. Then they rallied back to 1900. Then they, and in the May, after the May period, we had the Fed meeting. Remember that, the taper talk?
Yeah.
They bashed gold for about 6 hours there, two market days, took it down pretty good, rallied back up again. Then they had that mysterious overnight selling in the futures
yep.
market in early August. That, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'll tell you what, that smelled.
Mm-hmm.
That was not legit, meaning nobody who wanted to sell gold, let's say exit a position in gold, let's say mm-hmm. they owned bullion and wanted to sell their futures out, would tell their broker to dump it mm-hmm. and sell at any price.
Yeah.
In other words, you would sell in a more subtle way, you know,
right.
here and there, so you get a good price, right?
Right.
And so the point being, whoever dumped it didn't care.
No, and they yeah. went at a time when the market was very thin.
So
they dumped
yeah.
a huge
yeah.
amount of paper,
yep.
Paper gold at the time when the market was very thin. So, yeah, it doesn't make
yeah,
any
so
sense.
That just stinks. And so I tend to buy that argument now that, you know, they do this. But then I remember back in the late 70s during the bull market then, where gold went from $103 to, you know, $850 mm-hmm. or something, there were massive
gold
dumps
yeah.
by the IMF. The IMF
yeah.
was dumping gold. About every couple of months, they were dumping tons of gold. And they were selling it at official price. And occasionally, it would cause gold to sell off. But after a while, pretty soon, that bull market just said, heck with it. It just ate up
mm-hmm.
the sales. Just mm-hmm. didn't even blip. So I remember that. And those were huge quantities mm-hmm. of real gold.
Yeah.
Anyway, but what I see here is if I were a bear and I went short on the Fed news, the taper news, gold was then trading about 1850.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We've come back up to that price level a couple times. In fact, over the last several months, the price high has been where? In the 1830s.
Uh-huh.
So even if you sold at the optimal news price and are a bear, right now you're up $100 or so. Well, that's like 5-6%. Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's how many months later. So the bears better really get this thing rolling on the downside, or their game's going to be called on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it could be, if gold will simply stabilize here, not drop much more this quarter, meaning this next few days, and you get back over 1800 again by much, I think they'll engage on the upside.
Mm-hmm.
And the
yeah,
bears will be the one who are scared at that point. So.
Yeah, and I know that you provide some specific numbers for your subscribers as well that are very helpful, certainly to know, to have a sense of where, you know, where you have to be really careful and
mm-hmm.
and sort of seek really key points or key levels that if they're breached, we could go a lot lower. But, you know, I think you think we're, what, $10, $20, $30 away from those levels now, perhaps?
Yeah, and I think they got to do it this month, meaning by Thursday. If they don't,
the next couple of trading
numbers
days.
Are going to shift in the new quarter and the new month,
mm-hmm.
such that it won't take much of a rally from these levels. Not even back to the highs we saw over the last 3 months, up in the 1830s. You don't even have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You get much back over 1800, and I think they're going to engage on the upside. In which case, I think the miners, which have been, of course, scaredy pants, very weak,
mm-hmm.
could slingshot to the upside in
yeah.
a void.
Well, I tell you, the majors are making lots of money these days. I know that's a fact, and
mm-hmm.
I guess I should talk about that. And we've seen an acquisition today announced that Kirkland Lake is being taken over by Agnico Eagle. The big guys can't keep discovering enough gold and silver to keep producing at these levels. So the little guys, the ones that I like to follow, are the ones that have a chance to really, I think, just really do extremely well in this market. And Michael, as I hear what you're saying, I remember those 1970s, those days when there would be this massive attack on gold, and then it would come bouncing right back. And it was almost like the people that are looking to buy gold would say, thank you very much. I'll take that off your hands. And maybe that's what's happening again. Let's see what happens.
I think so. I think it's around the corner. I think the issue is just simply don't go back down to the low 1700. 1709 is our number for this quarter, and there's only a few more days left. Avoid that number.
All right.
That's all.
All right. We'll be watching very carefully.
Okay.
And, of course, you keep your subscribers up to date all the time on these issues, not just every other week when you come on our show. So it's olivermsa.com, olivermsa.com, folks. Go there and catch up with Michael's work. Thanks so much, Michael, for being with us again. Well, folks, we do have to – you bet. We're going to break now, and John Watson of NV Gold will be with me to give us an update on his projects, the projects that NV is working on in Nevada. So don't go away.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Firefox Gold is actively exploring in Finland, where recent discoveries have sparked a new gold rush. Firefox controls a major portion of a prospective gold belt, giving the company a distinct advantage for exploration and strategic partnerships. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, will put Firefox on the crest of the coming wave of gold discoveries. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQB, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.